love to ask you, oftentimes you bring in astrology when you're doing your consultations. And some people would consider, oh, that's junk science, or what is important about astrology and how can it be helpful to us?
Well, this time has come because it's had that reputation for, a few hundred years. Of course, for thousands of years, it was acknowledged by every potentate, every wise person, every person who had the means to check out. In every culture of the world, astrology existed. Now, what astrology is an intuitive, metaphorical language about our psychology and our nature that aligns with the cycles that you can see in heaven. Now, it isn't that it's causal exactly, it's not. It is an intuitive metaphor that gives you patterns of capacity, patterns of intelligence and style of being, patterns of areas of great interest in your life, unique to you. You can get all that information. I remember this lovely woman who used to work for me. She said, she was so cute when I was in LA. She'd say to a friend, she'd bring a friend, she said, "You see this chart? You see this circle with all those things? Just give her your birth time and she'll tell you all about yourself. She'll tell you what you did, when you did it." And so the thing that's the point here is that it works. And because it works, and it works more deeply than any psychological philosophy or premise that's going, because it's not shallow, it's unique to you. There's a high note and a low note frequency on each thing. Each planet has certain energetic meanings, high and low. Aspect, each house, each sign. And when you know what the high notes are, so if I do a reading for somebody, I look at their chart and I can see the powerful parts. I can see the parts that are unique. I can see where their creativity is. I can see where their woundedness is. I can see where they are on a growing edge that they almost don't have words for. And when you can start to tell somebody this and they resonate with it and they go, "That's right." That's how I got it, because when I was going to Berkeley, I thought this, like you just said, I said, "What's with this? Everybody's asking what sign I am. This is medieval." And so I took a course. It was on campus, you didn't get credit, of course, but it was a good astrologer. And they used my chart as one of the examples. And I thought, well, I'll learn how they do it, then I can explain to people how it doesn't work.
You can disprove it,
Yeah,
right?
talk about bias, right? So as they start to do my chart, I almost have my jaw drop on. God, it works. How can it work? It's not supposed to be able to work. How can it work? Now, anytime in science, whether it's physics or astronomy or chemistry or anything, medicine, whenever you find something that's an anomaly, that's real, you've hit a growing edge. You've hit something you don't have the right boxes for in your own mind. There's more to it. It's a pioneering place. Well, astrology is full of it. It has so much information that you can be supportive. People, you know what I hear most common, and it's so lovely. I was going to copy some down and put them on my website, but the latest one, this lady said, she said, "After listening to your reading, She said, I feel so confident, so relaxed, so grateful. And I realize there's so much more I can do. And what I love about it, it's in their own hands. You don't need a guru. You don't need a religion dogma. You don't need rules. You don't need control by somebody else. Getting back to the part when you were saying, why do we want to have somebody controlling it for us? It's mostly because we're fearful. We don't want to be wrong, and we just assume somebody else is wrong. If I go Sig Heil to somebody and then they're wrong, then it's their fault. They're wrong. I followed them. But if you think for yourself, you might make some mistakes, and you probably will. But each time you make a mistake, when you try something and you find out that's not it, what more do you find out? You find out where it's not it, how it was not it, why it was not it. What has happened? You've expanded your awareness of reality. You now know more than you knew before because you made a mistake. It's fantastic to make mistakes. We need to let it be not only all right, it's pay dirt. My grandson, I had a little TV show for a little while, and it was Trust the Problem. I was trying to figure the title, and he said, Nana, why don't you call it Trust the Problem? Because you're always talking about trust the problem. And trust the problem is part of this evolutionary leap that's happening. So the chaos that's going on in the world, the lying, the black and white thinking, the greed, the money, the projection of people's own faults onto others because they can't bear to look at themselves, all that kind of either or stuff, you kind of just ignore it. You know, put people in a golden bubble with a mirror inside and float them out of your life. Don't deal with people who lie. Deal with people who tell you the truth. Deal with people who love you. Deal with people who are creative and share with you and like you. All we have to do is start doing that. Do you know how fast that's going to be catching? In a short amount of time, the whole human race is going to go, what have we been doing that other way for? This is so much easier. We can make the environment healthy. We can invent new solutions to solve problems. We can take better care of our children. We can create politics that serves everyone. See, democracy is a sacred thing. Democracy is not a political thing, actually. It is a form of processing connection and self-regulation. And what that means is that everybody matters. Everybody counts. And when everybody has a vote, Benjamin Franklin had a wonderful thing. I wish I had it right here. But he was saying something that what happens when there's a difference of opinion, like in a democracy, when there's a difference of opinion, he says there is a kind of light of truth that is struck as we debate and we create a new solution. We create something else out of the disagreement because we're not polarized in disagreement. We're sharing, I see this differently. And then you say, yeah, but I see it differently this way. And I listen to you and you listen to me. And together we go, there's something here for both of us. And we invent something new. So having disagreement is not a problem. It is a fuel for discerning things in a more expanded way.
Patricia, going back to something that you said about getting together with people you like and who likes you. And I'm going to that place of thinking about the imaginal cells within the liquid of the caterpillar that is liquefied.
Yes, yes, yes.
And coming together to form the butterfly. And yep. So you're talking about collecting these as us, as imaginal cells, being attracted to one another.
I use this metaphor all the time, especially for Scorpios, because there's a transcendent, the caterpillar is an ancient, ancient metaphor, and it's very real. What the caterpillar does, when it's a caterpillar, it eats. It just devours everything it eats and eats until it's satiated. And then it gets in a stupor and it spins a little web to protect itself. And while it's in that stupor, heaven causes its DNA to liquefy its guts and turn it into something else. The DNA is transformed all by itself. The caterpillar doesn't do anything. It just goes through the process. And then what happens is it's now a butterfly, and it breaks out, and then it can have sex, and it can grow, lay eggs and have babies, and it's a whole new aspect of life. Well, we're almost in a place like that. We've been busy devouring things, but we don't realize, we just need to take a pause. See, we don't trust heaven. We don't trust nature. We don't trust goodness, because we're always trying to get an edge up on something. We're trying to gyp somebody. We're trying to lie to somebody. We can control them.
Or we're hoarding stuff.
Exactly. It's insane. It doesn't make it. You know, all the super, super rich people are all crazy. All totalitarian leaders are mentally ill, because no one would want to be a totalitarian leader. It's totally insane. It comes from weakness. It comes from terror. It comes from trauma in their childhood. It comes from insatiable fear and wanting to have power over other people. It doesn't make sense. It causes harm. It causes wars. It doesn't make sense if you really, you'll see they don't tell the truth. They're always changing things all around and playing to other people's fears, acting like, lying, I'll fix everything if you give me all the power, because they feel so powerless. They're weak. They're sick. They're mentally ill. They are, what are those words? You know, narcissistic sociopaths, because they are damaged. They are hurt. And the way you help them is you don't buy into their lie, and you send them love. You don't hate them. You don't harm them. You don't want to do that. That's not the energy of healing. But you don't buy the lie either. And you understand, have some compassion. And in little doses and big and giant doses, things start changing. By themselves, almost. Because it is the authenticity of a human in their own responsibility over their own DNA, their own mind, their own thoughts, their own choices and solutions that they change the world.
So do you feel that each one of us, if we, in a loving way, not accepting...
As best we could. And sometimes... Somebody doesn't deserve a whole lot of loving, because they'll just hurt you by you being loving. You still wish them well, but you get away from them. That's why I would say I made up this thing of a golden bubble. Put somebody who's always doing something unkind to you, put them in a golden bubble, put a mirror inside and float them out of your life and don't think about them anymore. Only think about your interaction with people who you love, who you care about, who you want to make life good with, and who want to make life good with you.
So are you saying that this is also an antidote to despair?
Yes, absolutely. Totally. Because despair is a lie. Despair is not true. Despair is you believing a terrible, unkind lie about yourself. You're not believing or realizing how much power you have. You're just buying it that you don't. When you do, we're not programmed. We are all conditioned and programmed dysfunctionally. And this is the big hang up for this evolutionary leap jump. Why we keep going in a loop with the same old stuff. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we haven't moved to the place of trust. We haven't moved to the place of the pleasure of goodwill and the pleasure of being kind with people who we like. And even if we don't like them a whole lot, we can see how they're suffering and wish them well and then go do something with somebody else who you do like a lot. You know, it's not like it's judgmental. It's not controlling. It's an energetic shift in your own thinking. And that's why despair is not like Benjamin Franklin. I've observed that wrong is always growing more wrong till there's no bearing it anymore. And that right, however opposed, comes right at last. That's because love is good. And it feels good. And it heals. And it enlightens. And it opens the doors to many things. And it makes it pleasant to be with each other and to help each other. It's called sanity. We are a little bit insane, actually, right now.
I remember a moment when my partner and I were on a backpack trip with my 8-year-old son. And he was young and he was tired and we were, it was a pretty long trek. And he was upset. And we hit one part of the trail where it was kind of a smooth rock. And he stepped on the rock and his foot slipped. So he stepped on the rock again and his foot slipped. And then pretty soon he was just running on this rock in place with his feet just slipping, just attacking this rock. And my partner and I just sort of sat on the side watching this happening and wondering, golly, all he has to do is step to the side and he can go forward. Yeah. And I'm just somehow this
vision. Well, you know, you've captured the human condition. This is it. This is old style thinking. Exactly. And all children are entitled to have a lot of old style thinking because they're children. That they don't know the other possibilities. It is our job as we grow up to become more grown up, to give up the mean sort of solutions and really consider how, you know, we could just step to the side and
right. It's a perfectly wonderful choice that we can make.
Exactly. Exactly right. People wanting or holding things in a way you can't get there from here. When you are thinking in a style that does not let you have a solution, that's something wrong with the thinking style. And that's where humanity is. We have a very immature thinking style. And it's connected to our biology because we have spent several hundred thousand years evolving biologically to be the Homo sapiens that we are. And we are now about to make a leap because while we have a left brain and a right brain and we can use it at an immature level, as we have been doing, with some exceptions all through time, geniuses that would pop up and think in the overview and do it. But this new kind of thinking is starting to become more a something. And that old style thinking is starting to feel a little bit like just a trap.
Patricia, I'm remembering like the interpretation that many religions have of sin is a terrible thing. It's a bad thing. Sin is a terrible thing and you're going to go to hell or whatever. Yeah. It's your life is. But the original meaning of sin is it's an archery term and it means off the mark.
Exactly.
So that sin.
So we are all
we
want to
be sinners.
Sin.
Let's
we've
be
all
sinners.
We've all missed the mark. We're all the little boys trying to get over without moving over to the side and getting a better foothold. We're all that little boy. We are all doing that. That's the sin. That's our original sin. And it's just a mistake. And that's why I say mistakes are valuable. When things aren't working, sin means it's not working. You didn't hit the mark.
Right.
You missed the target.
But that's a learning thing. And it's all like, okay, this didn't work. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay because reality is bigger than our logic can hold. And our intuition is our great breakthrough because it is a spiritual access. It's a spiritual phenomena, intuition is. It's a whole half of our brain that is dedicated to experiencing the mystery of heaven and the mystery of new reality unfolding to us. It's okay to be logical. It's a tool. But we have to remember it's pretty small. It's useful when it's useful. But what we are as a species, we are beginning to evolve to the place where we can use our intuitive and logical mind simultaneously, where we don't need to control people and things.
Right, right.
We know beauty, and beauty is a form of love. When we know things are wholesome and beautiful, and when we take care of babies because we love them and we feel them, and we don't get mad at them if they cry, we pay attention. Oh, they're crying. What is it? You know, it's this old style thinking. We're stuck in it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, in a way, every culture on the planet has a slightly different version of the same thing. And they argue over their version with
yes,
the other.
Yes, right, right, right.
And it's all so foolish that if we just had some goodwill for each other, first of all, there's no race. There's only the human race.
Okay.
There's only Homo sapiens.
If we knew that that was true, when the earth is round, there would be no.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
you
right.
know,
and the earth is round. You can't take sides when you know the earth is round.
Earth round. I want to ask you, Patricia, there's a lot up about collective consciousness.
Yes.
I think that Carl Jung brought it up years ago. And what is your take on collective consciousness, and where do you feel it's going?
Well, collective consciousness just means that the right brain is intuitive all the time, and we are actually linked. You know, I was thinking, I saw on PBS just the other night a documentary about the horse, Equus. And I used to have a horse, and her name was Spirit. And my horse and I were totally telepathic. We would look at each other. She'd breathe in my face. Horses say hello by going, they breathe in your face.
Exactly.
One time I was in the arena, and there was a man with his little boy, about 4-year-old little boy, and they were leaning over the fence, and I said to Spirit, "Let's go say hello to the little boy." And she goes over to the little boy. She goes real close to him and she breathes in his face. And I tell the father and the little boy, "That's how a horse says hello. I like you. Hello." And that is how they say hello. And it's loving. And I remember thinking, I didn't tell her to do that. I said, "Let's go over and say hello." And then I realized, she totally read my mind. I just said it in my mind. I didn't say it out loud. This thing called telepathy and intuition and empathy are all aspects of spiritual, mystical connection that is flooded with the frequency of love all the time. And that's why we need to be able to love.
Well said. Thank you. Oh, Patricia, it's just been magical being with you today. I am just so excited that we've been able to continue these conversations through the decades, and it's just been marvelous. So I want to tell our listeners that they can be in touch with you and go to your website, patriciasun.com, spelled S-U-N, patriciasun.com, or they can go to the website, newdimensions.org, and also reach you that way. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3843.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org. And just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hey, my name's Katie. You want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
For as long as humans have been solving problems, we've looked to the living world for inspiration. We've even got a word for it.
Biomimicry is a term that comes from the Greek, bios meaning life, and mimesis meaning to imitate. And so the idea is problem solving and innovation and design, where we are imitating what nature has already created.
That's Billy Allman, a futurist and biomimicry expert who says that lots of modern inventions incorporate elements of biology, like airplanes.
That's an example of mimicry of form. So the Wright brothers, they actually studied turkey vultures and the aerodynamics of their wings as they were working on their first iterations of the airplane.
Nowadays, biomimicry is helping engineers design state-of-the-art technology, like energy-efficient vehicles and climate-resilient architecture. And Billy says there's still a lot more we can learn from nature, our first teacher.
I do believe that nature holds maybe not all solutions to all things, but I think a lot of what will be based on our continued understanding and exploration of the natural world.
Learn more about biomimicry in the latest season of Bring Birds Back, available in your favorite podcast app and at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.